Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but don't worry because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to get the sleep you deserve. CBD PM blends melatonin and other sleep-promoting ingredients with 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And to make it even easier to get your year started off right, they're starting all of you listeners off with 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome to your Wednesday Locked On NBA, and as usual on Wednesdays, I am one of your co-hosts, John Corrales. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, and you can follow me on Twitter at NolaJake.
Six games in the association. Should have been seven, but we had postponements. And some pretty good games. Some pretty important things are happening. In this one.
This was a good night. I thought this was going to be a terrible night of games and ended up being pretty fun.
Yeah. We're coming to you after the Brooklyn mega comeback over the Phoenix Suns, which was surprising to say the least. But we want to start with, I think, maybe one of the more important games here of the night, because Milwaukee and Toronto, I think, is really, really interesting. Now, Toronto wins 124-113. They hand Milwaukee their fourth straight loss. It's the first four-game losing streak of the Budenholzer era. So the big question out of this, Giannis after the game says, I kind of feel like everybody is in panic mode, and that should not be the case. So the first obvious question here, and I think every team has had this discussion so far this season, should we be in panic mode? I know it's been happening in Boston, but should the Bucks be in panic mode, Jake?
No, probably not. You know, I think every team in the East has definitely kind of had this, but look, they didn't have Drew Holiday in this one. That's the guy that's supposed to kind of put them over the hump, right? The big offseason acquisition. And if he's not playing, it's going to impact him, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not overly worried about it. Like, I trust Giannis, and you know, I kind of lean in on that. It's a weird season. There's a lot of funky shooting going on too. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet either. I think one of the big things to really take into consideration here, Giannis, by the way, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks. Wow, what a line in that game for the Raptors. 33 points for Fred VanVleet. They lost Kyle Lowry after 22 minutes. He finished with 18 points to a sore ankle. But let's stick here with the Milwaukee thing. I'm actually less afraid of Milwaukee than I am of anybody, because the Bucks are trying new things. So yeah, Drew Holiday is not there for this game, but also the Bucks have been switching more on defense. They've been using Giannis differently on offense. He's been setting a ton more picks. He's been actually operating with somebody in the dunker spot. So his drives aren't as wide open as they were. And all of this is a Budenholzer kind of opening up his mind to new ways for this team to work. And without a training camp, without everything that most teams have to put this kind of stuff in, they're learning on the fly. I don't know if it's going to work, Jake, but some of the things that they're trying to work on are responses to the weaknesses that they've had. If Milwaukee does figure this out, and okay, so they struggled during the regular season, but if they use this regular season to figure things out, I think this just makes them more formidable in the playoffs.
Yeah, right. Like, this is kind of what we love Nick Nurse for, you know, doing kind of crazy, funky things that they've tested to some small degree during the regular season, knows what works well, what doesn't, and then breaks it out in the playoffs, and it kind of swings a playoff series, right? The book has been written on Milwaukee. We know what goes on with them. If you get some hot shooting against them, you can beat them. That's what the Heat did last season. They need to throw in some different things after this run that they've been on, and I don't mind them trying that. They know that the regular season, whatever, get into the playoffs, get home court in the first round and kind of move on from there. And they'll be just fine. I think they might not. I'm not saying that means they're going to get to the finals, but it doesn't change my opinion of how I look at them long term.
I don't think that it's time to panic for anybody minus like a couple of teams. You know, like we can have a discussion about the Miami Heat a little bit, but
yeah,
even them, like they're the last team in right now in the playoff in the play-in. They're only 6.5 games out of first. So the point here is not to say Miami can ascend to first place, but there's no separation. And so let's turn this to the Toronto Raptors side. You lose Kyle Lowry to an ankle. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but here come the Raptors. Now they're 5 games out of first. Now they're the 7th seed. They were a team that we were worried about. They're ascending. Is this kind of like, after all of this to make this progress, now you lose Lowry? It's like, come on.
Yeah, like it's not great for them, and they've kind of struggled this year. But what I liked out of them in this game is you kind of saw like those Raptory things that make them kind of a formidable team. You had Siakam going off for 23, Fred VanVleet being the score that you want from him. I think there's enough depth there and enough smarts that like maybe they're going to start to figure it out. But clearly they need some overall better backup center minutes. And I think that's just kind of the big thing. And until they really get that and kind of figure out what to do with Aaron Baines, I'm not buying them in to them too much being like fixed, but like they're still a playoff team.
Right. And Toronto is really going to be the most interesting team. I think they could be the linchpin for how this trade deadline goes, them and Boston, really, because Toronto has to make a decision. Where are you? Who are you? What are you going to do at the trade deadline? Boston obviously has the big traded player exception, so they're going to be players as well. But Toronto's going to be a super interesting team. I'm going to be interested to see how long this Kyle Lowry injury keeps them out and what that does to kind of push them one way or the other as the trade deadline starts to come in about a month away. Moving on, the Phoenix Suns blew this game, or if you're coming from the Brooklyn Nets perspective, the Brooklyn Nets staged a wild comeback and took this game 128-124. They outscored Phoenix 40-24 in the fourth quarter. This was no Kyrie, no KD. It was James Harden doing James Harden things and the supporting cast. And the shot making in this game was insane. Phoenix shot 54.5%, 43.2% from three, and 100% from the line, and lost in this game.
I turned this game off for most of the second half when Phoenix was up 24-0, and then all of a sudden, it's no Kyrie, no Kevin Durant. You just figured that the Nets would just mail this one in and just move on. Like that's the way it looked like it was going. And then they turned it around with defense, which is kind of surprising because that's been their big issue. But you and I have talked about it on the show. They can defend when they want to defend, when they really care and really try, they can actually defend and get some stops and got back into this game. And then, James Harden can carry you pretty far. Also, you remember like 2 years ago when we all thought Chris Paul was washed up?
Yeah.
Pulling the strings, doing Chris Paul clutch things down the stretch for Phoenix here. Not enough. But man, not washed up Chris Paul.
Not washed at all. It was funny because I was in the hallway last season at some point, and Chris Paul was talking to Jason Tatum and a couple other guys, and it was just a casual conversation. And he said, like, I was hurt and people wrote me off and, now I'm healthy. He literally says, like, now I'm healthy and I'm fine. And so that's basically what it was. But Brooklyn, that's the scary part here. The scary part is that Brooklyn can not just with their three stars be formidable, but if something happens, they can say, all right, James Harden, you know how to do this on your own and do it. And if they can, and everybody wants to talk about the Brooklyn defense, as I think we said last week, It doesn't have to be good defense. It just has to be good situational defense, because they're going to outscore you for a good portion of the game or keep it close with their offense for a good enough portion of the game. Can they get the stops when they need to get the stops? Because no one's going to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, right, you just need perfectly average defense, maybe even like below average defense and not abysmal defense. And they are so good and so talented. But then the other thing is they do have that switch. Like, they can turn this on. I don't know if they're capable of doing this over a 48-minute game, playing unbelievable defense. But they're going to have stretches where they look really good because they know what they're doing. And it just makes this team scarier.
All right, let's move on to the Lakers beating the Minnesota Timberwolves 112-104. That was a big LeBron James game, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Let's turn this one over to our local experts, Ben Beacon of Locked On Timberwolves and Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers.
Ben Irwin here for Locked On Lakers with the instant recap. The Lakers take care of business in Minnesota in their first game without Anthony Davis here for the next 2 to 3 weeks at least. They beat a shorthanded Wolves team. They also will not have D'Angelo Russell for the next 4-ish weeks as well. But the Lakers take care of business here. And given the schedules that they have ahead of them and given the situation that they find themselves in, it's just a matter of winning the games that you should. This one they should have. And they give up only 20 points in the fourth quarter. That's the kind of defense they're going to have to find a way to play consistently here. LeBron obviously leads away with 30 points. Schroeder gives his 24. Montrezl Harrell had a nice solid game off the bench with 17 and 6. And the Lakers just do enough here to win this one. And that's basically how they're going to define these next 2 to 3 weeks until they get their all-NBA center back. Pete and I are about to record here in a second. Until then, I'm Anthony Irwin for Locked On Lakers.
Ben Beacon with Locked On Wolves here. The Timberwolves fell to the Lakers tonight by 8 points, despite a career-high 28 points from Anthony Edwards. He made 5 threes in the game, shot 10 of 20 from the field, was awesome in the fourth quarter as the Wolves came back from a double-digit deficit early in the fourth to get within 5 points down the stretch. Unfortunately, though, LeBron was too much. He had 30 points for the Lakers, 13 rebounds in this game, dominated late in the fourth quarter. The Wolves could not slow him down, but he was really the only Laker that had a massive night. The Wolves did okay defensively, and on the flip side, the Lakers did a great job getting the ball out of Karl-Anthony Towns' hands. He only attempted 1 three in the game and finished with only 15 points and 6 rebounds because LA had such a strong defensive plan to force other Wolves to beat them. And thankfully for them, Malik Beasley only had 11 points on 4 of 15 shooting in this game as well. So it was really the Anthony Edwards show. And with Towns and Beasley combining for only 26 points on the game, that was enough for the Lakers to win this one 112-104. On the postgame podcast, we'll talk about the Lakers' defensive plan to slow down Towns. We'll talk about Anthony Edwards' big game, and we'll look ahead as to what's next for the Wolves. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Wolves, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I really don't care about this game from the Lakers' perspective. I think, like Anthony said, this is a game they're supposed to win. Doesn't matter. You won. Really, for Minnesota, just quickly, will they ever have Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell on the floor at the same time? Russell going out with knee surgery now. He's going to be gone for a few weeks.
They're not going to have him at least right now for everything. So that's kind of a big part of the problem. Towns also clearly working himself kind of back into game shape and playing in this game. He's got to take more threes than he did in this one, but just kind of unfortunate. Like, I really want to see good things happen to the Timberwolves, like especially given like Towns and his situation, but probably not for the next couple of weeks.
All right, we're going to move it on. We'll be back with Celtics Nuggets, Blazers Thunder. Talk about Damian Lillard and the Pelicans game. Jake covers the Pelicans, so our teams are coming up next. First, I don't know what the odds were for this Brooklyn comeback, but that would have been a hell of an in-game bet on betonline.ag. They are the fastest, easiest way to bet on all sports action. Football's over. I know that's popular, but obviously the NBA is going to give you plenty of opportunities. College basketball, NHL, baseball soon. They even cover award shows, TV shows, reality. I guess American Idol is still a thing, and you can bet on that if you want. You also get real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can think of. BetOnline has you covered for news, scores, odds. It's not just gambling. It's all-encompassing. So go check it out, and it's obviously the best place to place your bets. It's free to sign up with the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So it's free money on your first deposit, whatever that deposit is, 50% of that value on top of that from BetOnline, thanks to the promo code LOCKEDON. So check them out, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Hey, with so much of your focus on the NBA, you probably don't have enough time to stay up to date on all the other sports news. That's why you need to subscribe to Locked On Today. Peter Bukowski hosts the show. It's a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from all of our local experts. So start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you found this podcast. Moving on in the association, the Boston Celtics, the team I cover, beat the Denver Nuggets. Very short-handed Denver Nuggets, 112-99. We talk about teams that were in a panic, and should we be panicking? I can tell you that in Boston, panic was a word that was used very, very often after losses to the Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards. And those were terrible losses, but this is a nice win. This is a nice comeback, bounce back, I should say. Celtics got the big performances from Jaylen Brown, who had 27 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Kemba Walker had 17 points. Jason Tatum had 21. He had a game-high 8 assists. But for me, the biggest story was the bench and the role players. Aaron Nesmith, up and down rookie season, but he came in and hit some big shots early. Peyton Pritchard had 4 assists in a clutch third quarter run that turned a tie game into a double-digit lead for the Celtics. Robert Williams' energy was a little bit much. And really, for the Denver Nuggets, I don't know, Jake, what we can take out of this for the Denver Nuggets. Jokic was a god.
Awesome.
43 points.
Like, awesome.
43. Like, I don't know how he, first of all, I don't even know how he gets these shots off. And it seems, I want to say that it seems like he's not, he shouldn't be able to get where he's going. He just makes it look so easy. Like, I'm just going to get here. This is where I want to be. So I'm going to get there. I'm going to shoot this goofy looking shot, and it's going to go in, and I'm going to steal your soul.
He's good. Like, he's just good. Obviously, like, I'm kind of with you. Like, I watched part of this game and I saw some of the shots he was making, and it's like, wow. Okay. Like, he was kind of having just one of those kind of nights, right? Where it's just like, man, you just hope no one else, if you're a Celtics fan or you here, you hope no one else on the Nuggets really steps up, because this is a wasted performance for Denver with what he gave them in this one. Doesn't help that Michael Porter Jr. goes 0-for-8 in this game, by the way. And even though you got 25 points from Jamal Murray, like, that was kind of it. They needed more than that. The bench gave them a total of 14 points. That was it. You need kind of more than that. And I don't know, this one, this was disappointing to see if you're Jokic, but man, he is just had a game.
He had, it was just, at one point, he had the Celtics broadcasters talking about Larry Bird in comparison to Jokic. Like, it was just, and it was just constant. To the point where Mike Gorman, legendary Celtics play-by-play guy, was like, hey, I'm sorry, Celtics fans, if you think that we're being, like, disrespectful or gushing too much about Jokic, but he's just unstoppable right now. And it was just, I don't know what to say. It was ridiculous. But, you know, the Nuggets were relying on RJ Hampton and, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein, and, like, they're too broken down right now. I think they had 9 guys on the injury report or something. It was crazy. So, but for the Celtics, panic meter, you know, drops down a little bit. They're still 3.5 games out. So the Celtics are woefully incomplete. And a big topic recently has been what's going on with the Celtics. We don't know yet. So we're going to move on and let them figure themselves out for another couple of weeks. Maybe get Marcus Smart back and get healthy. Blazers, Portland Trail Blazers, 115-104, winners over the Oklahoma City Thunder. A little tighter than it needed to be, because they got, I think, a little complacent. But thank you, Damian Lillard, for stepping up. Let's turn it over to Mike Richmond from Locked On Blazers for his take.
What up, y'all? Host of Locked On Blazers, Mike Richmond, coming to you live on Tuesday night after the Blazers win 115-104 in OKC. And man, we've seen this one before. The Blazers up by 24, cruising in the first half, give it all away and find themselves down 5 late in the fourth quarter. And then, you know what time it is. Damian Lillard hit 4 threes in the final 4 minutes, assisted 2 others, rescued the Blazers from the brink. They win 115-104. Sometimes the trick is have the best player on the court. That's what the Blazers did. Tune in to Locked On Blazers for more. We'll talk about the best player on the court.
The thumping you heard in that clip was him tapping on his wrist.
That only means one thing.
Dame time, also game time. 31 points, 10 assists for Damian Lillard. Obviously clutch. Jake, where does Dame rank in the MVP race right now?
It's a good question, right? Because I don't know. Like, Dame time might be the most fun time in the NBA, and it's a shame Portland had to blow a 24-point lead to put them in that situation in the first place, which is the type of thing that's going to hold him back.
You know what I want? I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I want Damian Lillard to implant a chip in his wrist. So when he does the wrist tap, it sends out a universal league pass alert. It's Dame time.
That's good.
Okay. Everybody tune in.
Yeah, I would, as everyone should, because Dame time is really freaking fun. Like, let's not pretend here. And I've got to watch this team play tonight as they come to New Orleans, which should be great. And I'm kind of excited about, but he's got to be in the conversation, right?
Totally.
Like, at a certain point, you've got to wonder if he's going to get some votes almost kind of as like a lifetime achievement award in some sort of capacity, which you see on occasion. And that kind of narrative can help drive things. It's been so good for so long, hasn't really kind of been in that conversation, but he's got them on a winning streak right now. I think I got to pull them up here, but yeah, that's 5 in a row for them right now after this one. They're playing some of the best basketball you've kind of seen from them all season long. He's in there. I don't know if I put him ahead of LeBron or Embiid, but he's probably on that kind of same level as Jokic and kind of that next tier of guys, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like LeBron's in that, like, he's in the lead. It's right now, season ends right now, it's LeBron versus Embiid.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone else in the East, Kevin Durant, probably, but he's not in that upper tier. I don't know where this all shakes out, because Damian Lillard is carrying these guys. They're the fourth seed currently. After the Suns lost, they're tied with the Suns. They're 17-10. This is, and look, no CJ McCollum. They've been injury riddled for a while, and he just keeps on carrying them. It's almost, this is kind of hot take-ish, but I almost wish that he wouldn't carry them sometimes, so maybe he could find himself a better situation. But he's fiercely loyal. He's the West Coast Bradley Beal in a lot of ways, where, you know, like, how much more time are you going to give the Portland Trailblazers? He is, by and large, the only reason why they've had this any level of success. It's wild, but
it's funny, because I was talking about that team like in relation to small markets and in New Orleans, and like something you want to try and emulate. You've got a star player that is beloved there that wants to stay for your team in a small market, which is an impressive thing in and of itself. And they've made the playoffs 6 or 7 straight years. Like, it's been great. Like, you look at this, they've never won a title. I've never looked at that team as, oh, they could win the title, right? Barring some crazy bunch of injuries to a number of teams. But by and large, it's like a huge success given the circumstances, given that they're in a small market. And like, at one point, does the league, in terms of voting and awards, kind of reward Damian Lillard with this? And I wonder if he's going to get some votes for it, right? Like, again, sometimes you kind of get this as like a lifetime achievement award to some degree because of all of these other things. And this could be the year that he gets it, but probably not.
Probably not. I mean, it depends. Certain things could happen, but I don't know. I just at this point, I do want a lifetime achievement for Dame. Like he's been so good for so long.
He deserves it, right? If he wins the MVP, you're like, yeah, that dude deserves it. Like absolutely. I look at the Kobe year when he beat Chris Paul for it, where Chris Paul was a better player, but I think voters kind of gave it to Kobe because he'd never won one, and he was amazing that year.
Yeah,
probably wasn't the best player though, and sometimes that kind of happens. And like I can't say I hate it necessarily.
Right. All right, let's move on here. We're going to run out of time. New Orleans Pelicans, 144-113, a demolition of the Memphis Grizzlies. You are our Pelicans local expert, and I did not see this game. I gave it all to you, so take it away, Jake.
Well, then you missed out on Zion putting on Zion, a damn performance.
He was 31 points, 13 for 16. I think 16 I missed something
for
good.
31 points.
Yeah,
he was really good, and they just had no answer for him. He's on a bit of a streak right now. His last 7 or 8 games have been unbelievable. So I'll give you my Zion numbers that I used on Locked On Pelicans here. He has shot over 50% in 21 of the 26 games that he's played so far this year. He's been he finished with 6 assists, too. They're running the offense through him, and it's point Zion, and I absolutely love it. It's the fifth time he scored 30-plus points while shooting 75% or better before turning 21. Combined before they turned 21, Shaq and KG combined for that 5 times. Zion has 5 himself. He's averaging over 24 points per game this season on 60%+ shooting. The only others to do that over the course of a season are Wilt, Kareem, and Mikhail, and now Zion so far. That's the list. The efficiency he has around the rim regularly going something like 13 of 16, went 14 of 15 against the Dallas Mavericks, is insane. I know people were a little down on him to start the year, and it was very valid, but he is on some sort of streak that we've like not really seen before. And even though he's not throwing down those monstrous dunks that he kind of became known for in college, he's doing something almost even more impressive with his footwork around the rim, the spin moves, all of that, and then the passing. Yeah, it was the Zion show in this one.
Yeah, I got to make it a point on a night where my team isn't playing to watch more of the Zion show, because it really is – can't miss. But what you do is, now I know that I have something to look forward to tomorrow when I'm looking for something to watch in the morning. I pop on that little condensed game and I'll watch my catch up on my little Zion. Oh,
you're gonna be impressed. Like they threw 3 guys at him and he's like, no problem, let me just spin around you guys and score. It's absurd some of the things he does.
He's a beast.
Yeah,
okay, we're gonna come back, we're gonna talk about the All-Star game, and I know a lot of people are talking about the All-Star game, but when the Atlanta mayor comes out and says, please don't come to my city, that requires some level of discussion. And that is coming up next. Get yourself a Built Bar right now. Peel back that wrapper. Enjoy that snack while you're waiting for us to get that discussion going. There are 18 flavors, some of them without nuts. If you are allergic, there are options for you. All of them are delicious. All of them covered in 100% chocolate. They taste like candy bars, right? Jake and I have spent our own money, plenty of our own money, on these Built Bars. Luckily, I've gotten a couple of free shipments, Jake. So I haven't
It's been awesome. The coconut brownie chunk that we just got,
that
was
one
unbelievable, and that's my new favorite one. My favorite one changes basically weekly depending on what's the new one that I just tried.
So I look at the nutrition facts on that one, and I just don't believe it, because when they say low calorie,
it makes no sense to me.
Low calorie, no, like low sugar, high protein, high fiber, like all of that stuff. Like, I don't understand how they do it. I don't want to ask questions, but it's great. You want to have a nice snack that is delicious and not bad for you. You can have a Built Bar. You want to have one after the gym, you want to have one for breakfast, you want to take it with you as a meal replacement or something to get you between lunch and dinner, all plenty of good options. You don't have to take my word for it. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Go buy one box, that assorted box, the mixed box. You can use this promo code multiple times. So go buy that one mixed box, try a bunch of flavors, figure out what you like, go back. Then you can buy yourself 2, 3, 4 boxes of them. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Each time you use it, you're going to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with Rejecting the Screen. It's a podcast hosted every week by Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko. They get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members. They even had me on once. I know they had David Locke on recently. All the people that make the NBA happen from all angles. So subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get your podcasts. On Tuesday, the mayor of Atlanta sent out a plea to people, basically saying, please don't come to the city of Atlanta thinking that you're going to participate in All-Star Game festivities. The NBA is putting on, at this point still, an All-Star Game in a few weeks in Atlanta. And the plea was, bars, clubs, don't put on these events. Tourists, don't come to my city, please, because we do not want another COVID super spreader event. But, Jake, you are in the midst of what shouldn't be a tourist event, but is, because it's Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And you're seeing firsthand how human beings react whenever there's an opportunity to party.
Yeah. So we talked about this, 2 weeks ago, right? And I was pretty pro, or maybe it was last week. It all blurs together at this point. And I was pretty pro the NBA should do this. I think they truly can make this safe for the players. I'm not really worried about anything like that or the impacts it has on the league. You know what? If it brings more money in and that's good for the league, I said, do it. I'm here to say that I've changed my mind completely on this based on what the mayor had said. We're like professional podcast people. We're supposed to have strong opinions. It's not smart for us to be like, I was wrong. I've changed my mind. Right. That's how serious of a situation this is. I've changed my mind on this. So yesterday was Fat Tuesday, the end, official end of Mardi Gras. Normally, I would not be here podcasting with you. I would be asleep and probably have fallen asleep in some sort of like drunken stupor.
This is true. You have bailed on this show before at this time.
I don't ever do it. But this year, we didn't have Mardi Gras Day, and so I wasn't out day drinking at like 8 in the morning through whatever time I fall asleep at. That's how serious I was taking it. But you know who didn't take it seriously in the beginning was the mayor of New Orleans. And at one point, she was encouraging tourists to come to New Orleans and said, we welcome them. And that got a lot of pushback. And then if you went into the French Quarter or drove around or did anything, you just saw the tons of people, all maskless, all clearly in from out of town, because they were told to come and it would be Mardi Gras and they could party. And I get it. People are desperate for that. And you know what? The businesses were catering to them. They were saying, screw the COVID restrictions. I know we're not supposed to have people in our bar, but let's do it anyway. And I don't blame them either. They need to make money, right? The owners of these places, these establishments, their livelihoods depend on this. But if you have an event and people come, the bars, the restaurants, all of that stuff, the clubs, they're going to be open and they're not going to enforce mask rules. And this is how all of this stuff goes on longer. And so when the mayor of Atlanta comes out and says, don't do this, and I'm seeing it in New Orleans firsthand that this is going to make things worse for the city that I live in, don't have the NBA All-Star game anymore. Don't do it. Give the people their All-Star votes and all that stuff. There's just no need for this. She's 100% right that will only make things worse. And so I've come around on this saying, I don't think this is a good idea.
I've been in agreement with this take for a while. And we know that. But I didn't take this part into account when I first was formulating my argument, because we focus on the NBA. Our arguments are focused on players. Of course. Right? But
yeah.
I didn't take into account the clubs that would be open and are open. Hey, you know what? I have a friend who's a promoter in Atlanta. I see the videos. The clubs are full. Like,
oh, yep.
They're full and they're not wearing masks. And I don't know how people are still going in Atlanta. I don't get it. Putting the NBA in that situation, having the players bring family members to Atlanta, even with all of those restrictions, you know that somebody's going to break that. But beyond that, you know that when people say, hey, All-Stars in Atlanta, got to go to Atlanta, whether you live, maybe you're from Philly, maybe you're from Florida, maybe you're somewhere nearby, and you're saying, you know what? It's worth the trip. I'm going to go see. People don't take certain things seriously. COVID isn't as discussed. Like the COVID discussion is all about vaccines and all of that. But if you're not fully protected, and we still don't know everything about how this thing reacts, how it impacts people, the NBA can come out of this and beat its chest and say, look, no one caught it. We're fine. No one at TNT has it. None of the players have it. None of the coaches have it. All of that stuff. But what they're not going to know is what they've left in their wake. And to me, that's worse, because if the NBA swoops through Atlanta and draws a bunch of people in there and is the cause of a super spreader event, that's on the NBA. That's the NBA's responsibility. And I don't care if it's a bunch of 30-year-olds from, you know, Northwest Florida, Pensacola, who've made the drive, that's still the NBA's fault, because they put that event there and made this situation possible. And that, to me, is worse than anything else that they could be doing.
It's as simple as, you know, it's like, if you build it, they will come. It's really that simple. People are tired of being stuck inside. They want to go do things. They want to go have some fun,
because this is shit.
I'm with you. I don't blame people for wanting that. I don't blame the businesses for needing to be open and make money and live. But the NBA needs to kind of be like the bigger person here and just do what is the right decision. And that's not have this anymore. And again, a week ago, I was like, yes, do it. And then I drove around today after pipe broke at the house and I needed to go get someone to fix that. And I see people out celebrating Mardi Gras, a couple hundred people in a park celebrating, no masks, drinking, doing all the fun stuff that I wish we should would be allowed to do. But that's because the mayor said, come here. That's because they didn't just shut things down. And it's really that simple. And so the NBA, there's a big moral issue here if they end up having this, with stuff that will be unseen, as you said, and what they leave in their wake, and they'll just try and ignore it. And that's just, don't do that.
Right. Look, yesterday I spent half an hour driving around my area looking for a place to go eat because I needed to get out of the house. I understand the need to get out of the house. Every restaurant that I drove by that's supposed to be adhering to certain restrictions was packed. So I'd pull up, place is too full, I don't feel comfortable there, I gotta go. And I really had to try and find an out-of-the-way place that I tried to find, like, maybe the worst restaurant I could find, or the most inconvenient restaurant to get to, so I could go and feel comfortable with no one around me, so I can go do something that was outside of the house. I say that to say, I understand, we got to get out of the house, especially up here in the Northeast. It's still getting dark at 5 o'clock. It's driving us nuts. It's seasonal affective disorder. It's crazy. But that doesn't mean that we have to, like, put ourselves into jeopardy. I'm not going to dive into one of these packed places without a mask and be like, I don't care, I want jalapeno poppers, so this is what I'm going to go do. The NBA, and I'll just leave it. The NBA's got to just think rationally.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
Mardi Gras doesn't usually teach me to do the right thing. This year it did.
Right. There's still time. There is still time. On that note, there is still time for you to subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. If you have not, please do so. If you do, please rate the show 5 stars or give a written review. We'd really appreciate that. All of the teams that we talked about all have local experts who host podcasts about that team. So go check all of them out. Obviously, our podcasts as well. I'm John Corrales. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at NolaJake.
Back tomorrow, Locked On NBA with Locke and Golliver covering the entire night in the association. So check that out. Talk to you next time here on the Locked On NBA podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.